Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to have everyone out today. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. The title of the lesson is Ignoring Little Things, or better yet, Ignoring Little Faults. We have a tendency to ignore a lot of little things in our lives, and so they become habits, and they grow into bigger monsters that are bigger than we are. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus lays down this principle. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Character matters. Habits matter. I mean, if you're responsible, you have certain abilities and the Lord expects certain things out of you, we have a tendency to push off some little things. We got better things to do, or we just can't get it done. And we're developing habits. I mean, just in doing the right thing. Much less he talks about how he's unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous in a big thing. You cannot ignore little things in your life that are not right. You can do it, but you shouldn't be doing that because it's going to show up as a monster later and you can end up losing your soul before it's over with if you're not careful. So all that matters. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And it's a question asked of Naaman. We all know Naaman. We always use these verses about baptism. And Naaman is the great warrior. The Lord gave him a victory from the country of Aram. But he has leprosy. And they capture an Israeli girl, and she's a servant of his wife, and she told him there's a prophet in Israel that can heal him. So he goes to his king, and his king sends a letter to the king of Israel, verse 7, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7. And it came about when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive? That this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." What in the world is the king of Aram wanting from me? I'm a politician. I can't heal nobody. I can't make nobody alive. I don't control that. What's he trying to start a fight? You know, this is the leader of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, who are apostate, but it shows his ignorance, and that'll come back in a moment. Verse 9, so, you know, they said there's a prophet named Elisha. Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." I mean, if he's a prophet of God and God's going to back up his word, the solution is real simple. Just go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times and problem solved. I don't have to come out to you. He's there with his great horses and his great pomp, and he's the great general. Verse 11, but Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper." Yeah, he's showing that respect, who I am. If you're the person with the problem, what? Yeah, you probably need to humble yourself and do it the way God wants to do it, because he's going to determine that. And you know, but he believes the prophet has the power, that he can call on the name of his God. People just can't do miracles. You've got to get God's authorization to get it done, the healing. And so surely he would have done that, but he didn't even come out to greet me. Verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. You know, this fellow, kind of angry guy, he didn't get that way in 10 minutes. Yeah, you don't get to be a great general because you're a nice guy. we got better waters back home. They're not as filthy as the Jordan. But you still got your leprosy, don't you? You know, we get all upset, and you're seeing the fulfillment of this guy's life and the lack of control and the pride and the arrogance. We ain't been taking care of little things. If you're unrighteous at a little thing, you'll be unrighteous at a big thing. If you're arrogant at a little thing, you'll be arrogant at a big thing. And one day it'll show up. And if somebody doesn't intercede here, he's still going to be a leper tomorrow. And being a leper is a horrible life to live. You can have all this great glory, but you're still a leper. Yeah, the leper, the general, the leper. Yeah, that guy. Verse 13. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" Oh yeah, if he'd have said something great, everybody would jump. But nobody wants to do the little things that is pleasing in the eyes of God. So you left. You and I don't want to deal with our little faults in our life. We're left with them. And they keep growing. Here's this great general. And the guy's asked the right question. If he would have told the great general, "Won't you do something great here? We'll make a big deal out of it." You would have ran to do it. Because it fits your mindset. You're great. Oh, we all want to do great things in the church, but evidently we're incapable of it, or we have them done. If we're going to do more for the Lord, you need to develop character. You need to develop discipline on the low levels to start with. Otherwise, Jesus knows that if you're not going to be faithful in little things, we won't be faithful in big things, so there's no need putting us in charge of anything bigger. You have to learn to do the little things. If you've got little faults in your life, they're going to grow to be big faults. Well, if this man can humble himself, you know, maybe you have to find a solution, verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Doing it the Lord's way works. Lord created everything. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 8 through 11. And the reason I threw this in there was because of the wording in verse 11. It's comparing the ant and the sluggard as they prepare for winter. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 8, prepares her food in the summer and gathers provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands of rest? Little sluggard, you don't see no need to prepare. We're talking about an agricultural community. Winter's coming. Harvest is over. And he's got time. He don't see the future. He don't see time as escaping. And so he just kind of sits back. We got time. No worry. Verse 11. And your poverty will come in like a vagabond. And your need like an armed man. Oh yeah. One day, you know, you sit back, you don't harvest your crops. Time runs out, and all of a sudden, a vagabond shows up. Out of nowhere, this guy shows up. No announcing. And you ask him, "What's your name?" And he says, "It's poverty." You don't take care of little things. Yeah, it's going to show up one day suddenly. And you're going to be lacking at that point. You know, I'm always saying that if things turn bad in this country, you need to have faith. You're not going to find it once it turns bad. The second part of verse 11, and your need like an armed man. I mean, if you're going to commit robbery, and what if their food prices go sky high? What if there's scarcity of food, you know, like Russia used to have and some other countries have now? And people get desperate. I mean, they're there to take what they want to take. Well, if you don't take care of business here and this sluggard doesn't bring in his harvest, Yeah, poverty is going to show up. Need is going to show up like a desperate man. You're going to find yourself in great desperation because you didn't take care of business when you should have taken care of business. Well, look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. Talking about wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And I find knowledge in discretion. Yeah, you know, prudence. Being prudent versus reckless. Being cautious. Not taking chances. I mean, practical matters. Wisdom dwells with prudence. I mean, if you don't have any prudence, if you don't have no forethought, if you're not careful, you're going to be a fool. If you don't start doing things with very little things and take care of business down there, you won't be prudent when the big things come. Second part of verse 12, and I find knowledge and discretion, wisdom, prudence. And all of a sudden you have knowledge and discretion. Discretion is about saying things, not saying things, control, caution again. That if you're not prudent and you don't take care of business now, it's going to get worse. This week I had a call and late at night, and I go out, and we've had this discussion before this year. And the person's accusing people on unfounded reasons, on suspicions only. But we start discussing it. And I said, you got any proof? Oh no. But you're accusing this person. And you keep on accusing them. It's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're going to run as far from you as they can run. And I said to the person, this is madness. You got a preacher telling you this is madness. I think you probably need to listen. That you're way gone, way beyond reality and reason. Yeah. And the person said to me, Ernest, I want to let it go. I don't want to hear that you want to. Prudence demands that you do it. This is not going anywhere good. And I kept hearing, I want to. And you're a Christian? And you just want to? You're not going to do it? If you're unrighteous in little things, you'll be unrighteous in big things, and you'll ruin your life, and you can lose your soul. I mean, that's where if you don't reflect on what the little things going on in your life, they're right and wrong, you'll end up with bigger problems. And then, our second point is the consequences. Look at Proverbs 8, 34 through 36. You end up injuring yourself. I mean, when certain bad things happen in your life, you can't blame nobody else once it's over with. You could have blamed everybody else to start with, but when it's through, guess what? You end up hurting yourself. Proverbs 8, 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at my doorpost. Wisdom. Making wise decisions spiritually. When wisdom's talked about in Proverbs, it's talking about relationship to God. That's the wise move. There's the prudent move, to do the will of God, not to ignore the wrong. But wisdom, you know, blessed is the man who listens to me. All I can do is say things. I can't do them for you. I can point them out. I can point them out 100 different ways. But you have control of your life. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. How do you feel when you make a foolish decision? Oh, you're not laughing at that point, are you? Oh, you feel so stupid. Verse 35. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. If you follow the words of God, if you get the wisdom of God, You're going to live eternally, and you're going to find favor from God. And there are times you need it more than others. Life is a lot easier with God blessing you than being indifferent to you or against you. We can work it either way. Verse 36, "But he who sins against me, wisdom, injures himself, and all those who hate me love death." I mean, you don't want to know the will of God? It doesn't matter. You're not being prudent. Well, everybody else don't care either. You sin against wisdom, and it's going to burn you. And you love death. You love separation from God. If you don't want wisdom. And then there's chapter 10, verse 3, that you don't want wisdom. You don't take care of business in the little end. "The Lord would not allow the righteous to hunger, but He'll thrust aside the craving of the wicked." Heaven to be that nobody finds herself in this position. He will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. If you don't want to do what's right, and when you're in desperate need, He's going to thrust you aside. Oh, everybody says God is good and He won't punish you. That's not prudent to accept that one. He'll thrust aside the craving of the wicked. We don't have a use for them. And we're not going to help them. Well, the righteous, the hunger? Oh, we're going to look out for the righteous? So it's wise to be that. Look at Philippians, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, 8 through 10. The ultimate value or worth of why you take care of little things, that sometimes it's a matter of service, that you're responsible in the church for certain things. Usually I say, I went to Central Illinois and I swear I'm not doing all them little things the church and the preacher ends up doing them. Swore I wasn't going to do it. Because it had to be done. And nobody else was doing it. We do that. We get busy, we think about everything else, and we don't take care of things that need to be taken care of in the church. And then there's our faults, the little ones. Oh, we'll work on that later. And then we come to the point where someone's done us wrong and we can't forgive. We can't do it. We won't do it. You know where that started? Somewhere back there in the little bitty things about refusing to do the right thing, and now we're asked to do a big right thing, and oh, we ain't about to do that. Well, the offset, Revelation chapter 3, 8 through 10, the church at Philadelphia. Five of the seven churches in Revelation are told to repent. A lot of repentance, a lot of Church of Christ. Not this church, verse 8. "I know your deeds. Behold, I put before you an open door, which no one can shut." If God is for you, I mean, life gets easier. We got an open door. You don't have to bust the door open. You just walk through, and I ain't letting nobody shut it. When God's for you. "Because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name." He notices it. This church is a little church, little power. They're not these big mega churches. But they have not denied His name under pressure. They have kept His word. People with little power doing the impossible. Where other five, seven churches have given it up. They stand out like a bright beacon. That's why I've opened the door and ain't nobody shutting that door. Because I like these people. Little things, take care of little things with what ability you got. Verse 9, "Behold, I'll cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they're Jews and are not, but lie." He knows the difference. You got them Jews over there and they're claiming to be the people of God, and He calls them a synagogue of Satan. And they're claiming they're good, but that's not true. "Behold, I'll make them to come and to bow down at your feet and know that I've loved you." So they've been persecuting the church at Philadelphia. Yeah, we're going to change that business. They're going to come to know that I've loved you. They're going to come and bow. I'm going to force circumstances to change in their viewpoint of the church in Philadelphia to change because they have a little power and they not denied my name. I'm going to back them and I'm going to back these people down their knees in recognizing who's recognized or not. But the greatest point of all, verse 10, because you've kept the word of my perseverance, I'll also keep you from the hour of testing. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. You know, old Naaman, he was arrogant. He thought he was the great general because he won some wars that God gave him. And he wasn't going to do a little thing like go dip yourself seven times in the Jordan. You know, God's not cocky. He thinks he rules the earth. And he thinks he can test them anytime he wants to do it. And he thinks he can test the entire earth. You get a passing and failing grade. There's no A, B, C, no curve. He's going to exempt this church from the test. They have already proved themselves faithful with that little power they have. What's it worth to be faithful in little things? Is it noticed when you have to struggle with things in your life that aren't right? They're not a big thing, but you struggle with it and you decide, I'm going to do the right thing. Does the Lord notice? Sure he notices. And this church is exempt for the test, that horrible test that's going to happen in the entire earth. Lord notices. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. You know the consequences of not taking care of little things? The ultimate consequence in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, verse 20, for if after they've escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the world will defile you in the eyes of God. And if you somehow escape that and get yourself clean, Saul of Tarsus said he's the chief of sinners, Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And he had a lot calling on his name. You have to deal with God at baptism. And that's where your sins were washed away. And if you've escaped the defilements that God now views you as holy, what if you go back? For if they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. There are degrees of sin. There's degrees of punishment. And there's degrees of existence in people's souls. For the Christian to be freed from the entanglements of sin and to get entangled again in it and overcome, it's one thing to get entangled, it's another thing to shake yourself loose and walk with the Lord. But to become overcome with it? The last state's worse than the first. You know better. You're now outside lost, and you knew better. That's not going away. You can block it out and try to block it out. It's not going away. You were there. You know what you're going to remember? All those little bitty things unrighteous that I didn't deal with. Now they become so much part of me that they dominate, they rule. If I'd never been saved and never knew anything about the Bible, it wouldn't have been so bad. Paul said that he was found mercy because he acted ignorantly in unbelief. he didn't know no better. But to know better and to get trapped again in sin? Verse 21. For it will be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. There's degrees of sin. There's degrees of punishment. It would have been better never been saved. Never. That's why it's so important for you and me not to ignore little things in our life. That we take care of individual responsibilities on the low level. That we begin to develop habits of faithfulness. So that on the big level, we know how to be faithful. Because that's been our practice all these years. You know, the politicians today, I'm amazed at the commentators. Oh, that's just what Washington does when they get caught in some kind of little corruption. They call it little corruption. Like a little white lie. You start telling little white lies and what? Oh, yeah, you'll protect yourself with bigger, bold-faced lies. You know, habits become part of us. And to become a Christian and to be entangled and fall away, it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. To walk away, you've got to choose to walk away. You've got to choose to forget everything you've ever heard. You've got to be able to deny that there's going to be any punishment for walking away. Otherwise, you can't walk away. If you have any prudence, any discretion in your life, any wisdom, any knowledge, what? You can't walk away. If you've been practicing faithfulness on the low levels, you know how to be faithful when things are tough. How easy to be that you've been serving the Lord for a lot of years and you lose a loved one that you love very much. Why, Lord? You know, you start blaming God, and where does that go? Yeah. You probably won't be around in a year. You know what? What's irony? That I can name people in this area by the dozens who go to denominations to this day. I can name them in Alabama and Arkansas. Texas. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Truth don't matter no more. It matters to Jesus. Truth matters. Verse 22, "It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. A sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire." When you and I don't deal with faults in our life or on a low scale, we're getting dirty. We're becoming defiled. And if we're not careful, it'll be a habit. And we'll escalate the defilement. It will act as if it's going nowhere. If it's not leading anywhere bad, we'll tell ourselves that. Before we know it, we're back there wallowing in the mire before we ever become Christians. Without any knowledge of God, without any guilt, because we've come so far in hardening our conscience. And all we had to do was be sincere. Was to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And to realize there is danger lurking everywhere. And that the devil has you in its sight. Oh, he doesn't come up and attack you every 30 seconds. But if you're not taking care of little things, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. And he don't even have to directly do anything to have someone cross you. People just do what's natural to them.
because they don't have no knowledge of God, and they do something to you and you react, and pretty soon you're bitter, you're resentful. And then someone talks to you about it, and you say, well, I need to work on that, as if it's not a problem. If it's not a problem to you, it will be. In this life or the next, it will be. If you got wisdom, be honest with your little bitty faults and take care of things that need to be taken care of now. Don't be a sluggard. And develop the habit of being faithful to the Lord in little things. And what's the path? And what's the blessings flow? God's trying to save your soul. Oh, Jesus notices. You know, those faithful in very little thing, they'll be faithful in larger things. Those unrighteous in very little things, they'll be unrighteous in larger things too. We set our own course. But we need to pay attention to detail before it gets so big that we're trapped. And we can't see a way out. And all the times we're Christians. And we sing praise the Lord. It can happen. Don't let it happen to you. You need to respond anyway. Once you come, as we stand and sing.